You felt the exhaustion, the confusion of trying to fix a problem that has no solution. You get the promotion, but you're criticized for not being present. You become more present, and yet you're condemned for lacking ambition. And this is where it begins, the endless loop of contradictions. Because that chronic unhappiness you're trying to fix is not your fault. It's not a reaction to your failures. It's a mechanism, a pre-installed program that manufactures dissatisfaction. This is the bottomless bucket in action. It's the lived daily experience of the phrase, "Nothing I do is ever good enough." This is the core symptom. You solve one problem and another immediately appears to take its place. You plan the exact vacation she asked for, but the hotel pillows are wrong. You cook dinner, but you use the wrong pan. You listen to her complaints, but you didn't use the specific active listening word she read about. The target is always moving. This pattern isn't an accident, it is a mechanism. It is designed to grind you down, to make you feel perpetually inadequate. In simpler terms, it's a no-win scenario, and your exhaustion is the intended result. You are not failing to find a solution. You are being manipulated into believing a solution exists when the entire purpose of the mechanism is to ensure one never does. I've seen this pattern in thousands of cases, but one clinical observation made it perfectly clear. I watched a man meticulously try to solve his partner's unhappiness. She complained she felt unseen, so he scheduled weekly date nights and bought thoughtful, specific gifts. The complaint then shifted. He was being performative and overbearing. He backed off to give her space, and the complaint immediately became neglect. He was confused, but the pattern was obvious. It was never about his behavior. His behavior was irrelevant. He was merely the target. I saw this again with a client who, after a breakup, saw his ex-partner enter a new relationship. Within 6 months, the exact same complaints he used to hear about finances, about emotional presence, about the future, were now being leveled at the new man. The man had changed, but the script remained the same. This is the critical realization. The unhappiness is a pre-existing condition. It is a fundamental state of being that she carries with her, and it existed long before you. You did not cause it, and you cannot cure it. Your role in this dynamic is not partner, your role is target. You are the convenient external object onto which she can project the internal dissatisfaction that she cannot or will not resolve for herself. If you've ever felt like you're being punished for crimes you didn't commit, that's because you are. The unhappiness is coming from inside her, which forces us to ask the most important question: where exactly does this internal programming come from? This internal programming is not a single error. It's a deep, multi-layered psychological script. The first layer is genetics and temperament. This is the biological baseline. Some individuals are neurologically wired for higher levels of negative emotion, more prone to anxiety, pessimism, and what is clinically called negative affect. In simpler terms, their default emotional setting is dissatisfied. Their emotional temperature naturally runs cold. When this is the case, the person often looks for external sources of heat, demanding that their partner provide a level of warmth and validation that is impossible to sustain. But you cannot fix a neurological baseline. You are arguing with their brain chemistry. This genetic predisposition creates a foundation of discontent that no external partner, no matter how perfect, can permanently override. The second layer is childhood programming. This is where the emotional software is written. The blueprints for adult relationships are drawn from the earliest family dynamics. If a woman grew up with a father who was critical, distant, or impossible to please, she often enters adulthood with a core wound. She then unconsciously casts her partner in the role of that father, demanding he fix that original pain. Alternatively, she may have learned her relationship model from her mother. If her mother's primary tool for connection or control was complaint, martyrdom, or emotional volatility, this behavior is normalized. It's learned as the default way to be in a relationship. If you've ever felt like you're fighting a battle that started 20 years before you met, it's because you are. The third layer is the expectation gap. We must be clinical about this. Modern culture has built a fantasy engine and relentless barrage of media, entertainment, and social narratives that sell an impossible version of reality. She was not sold a partnership, she was sold a script. This script demands constant heightened emotion, grand gestures, and a partner who must simultaneously be a perfect provider, an intuitive emotional healer, and a source of spontaneous romantic excitement. This fantasy is not just unrealistic, it is a direct toxin to real-world intimacy. The mundane, practical reality of a shared life, with bills, chores, and quiet normal days, is seen as a failure. It feels like a betrayal of the fantasy. She isn't unhappy with you. She is unhappy that you are a real person and not the fictional character she was promised. And when these layers, genetics, childhood, and fantasy, combine, they create a chronic internal void. This leads to the fourth layer, projection. It is the mind's most critical defense mechanism. It is psychologically far simpler and less painful to blame an external source for this internal void than to confront the terrifying reality that the emptiness is one's own. Here's what that really means in practice. The internal feeling is, I feel empty and incomplete. The projection onto you becomes, you are failing to make me feel whole. If you have ever been blamed for her bad day, her career anxiety, or her general sense of, is this all there is? You have been the target of projection. This is why your solutions never work. You are solving the wrong problem. You are trying to fix the outside while the program runs on the inside. And this is why no matter what you fix, the target keeps moving. If the first four layers built the foundation of the program, these modern accelerators pour gasoline on the fire. The fifth layer is social media, which is the most potent dissatisfaction engine ever invented. It is not a window into other lives. It is a curated, monetized, and weaponized arsenal of comparison. In practice, this means your real, tangible life, your budget, your home, your vacation, is in constant, unwinnable competition with a digital illusion. Your effort to provide a good life is measured against the highlight reel of thousands of other lives, algorithmically selected to be more exciting than reality. This digitally induced envy is not her fault, but it is her reality. It provides her internal program with a constant stream of evidence that her life, and by extension you, are simply not enough. This leads to the sixth layer, the devaluation mechanism. This is a core psychological law. Possession diminishes perceived value. The chase is more thrilling than the capture. The man she has can never compete with the fantasy of the man she could have. When you were a mystery, you were exciting. Now that you are familiar, your routines, your flaws, your stability, you are predictable, and predictability is toxic to the fantasy script she was sold. Here's what that really means in practice. The very qualities that make you a stable, reliable partner are the exact things her internal program will reframe as boring or lacking. You are not being devalued because you changed. You are being devalued because you stayed. The seventh layer is the resentment of performance. This is the part most people get wrong. The attraction phase requires a performance from both sides. She presents the best, easiest, and most attractive version of herself. But performance is exhausting. It requires energy to maintain the mask. As the relationship settles into reality, the mask comes off. And a deep resentment builds, not just toward the effort of the performance, but toward you for being the one who requires it. She resents you for having seen the mask in the first place, and she resents you for being the reason she can't just be herself, even if herself is the very program of dissatisfaction she is running. If you've ever felt like you're dating two completely different people, you are. These layers all feed the eighth, a profound lack of maturity or a stable, self-sourced identity. When a person does not know who they are, they cannot be happy with what they have. They exist in a state of chronic emptiness, looking to external sources, careers, children, and especially partners, to fill that void. You are not a partner. You are a solution. You are the emotional regulator, the source of validation, and the distraction from her own lack of self. This makes her happiness parasitic. She needs you to feel whole, and she will resent you for that dependence. This creates a toxic paradox, a specific cultural pathology where she feels both dependent on and superior to you, which brings us to the feminist superiority complex. The ninth layer is the feminist superiority complex. This is a profound social paradox. The programming simultaneously tells her that she needs a man, biologically, for a family, for stability, while also telling her that she is inherently superior to all men, morally, emotionally, intellectually. This creates an impossible bind. You cannot build a genuine connection with someone you secretly disrespect. You cannot love what you see as inferior. If you've ever felt that your competence is treated as a threat or your opinions are automatically dismissed, you are not imagining it. You are experiencing the cognitive dissonance of a program that demands your presence while simultaneously holding you in contempt. This internal conflict leads directly to the 10th layer, self-sabotage. If you grew up in chaos, stability feels unnatural, peace feels wrong. This is a terrifying, unconscious truth. If her formative years were defined by conflict, drama, and emotional volatility, her nervous system is wired for that state. When you provide peace, stability, and consistency, her internal program flags it as boring or unsafe because it is unfamiliar. She will then unconsciously create chaos, start arguments, manufacture crises, or provoke you, just to return the relationship to an emotional baseline that feels like home. Your attempt to build a peaceful life is a direct threat to her programmed identity. This drive for chaos is paired with the 11th layer, the greener grass syndrome. This is the pathology of the unlived life, supercharged by the digital world. It's the chronic nagging belief that a better partner, a better life, a better feeling is just one decision away. This program makes it impossible for her to commit to the present reality. Why? Because the fantasy of a hypothetical future is always more perfect than the reality of a tangible present. In practice, this means every compromise, every normal domestic chore, every quiet night in is seen as settling. She is not in a relationship with you. She is in a relationship with the option of leaving you. We must also address the non-negotiable reality of the 12th layer, the biological clock. This is not a social construct. It is a hardwired physiological deadline. As time accelerates, it creates a low-level biological panic. This anxiety is real and it is profound, but this panic is aimless. It is a diffuse terror about time, mortality, and missed opportunities. The internal program cannot or will not hold biology accountable. Instead, this profound anxiety is projected outward and you become the target. The pressure, the impatience, the sudden urgency, and the free-floating anger. This is often the sound of biological panic being mislabeled as your personal failure. This panic is amplified by the 13th layer, the princess programming. This is the end stage of the expectation gap. This is not just a fantasy. It is a core identity of entitlement. The princess identity believes that her mere presence is the prize. Her role is to be, and your role is to do. She believes she deserves a life of ease, excitement, and provision, not as a result of a partnership, but as a simple requirement. In this script, your effort is not appreciated. It is expected. You are not a partner. You are a high-functioning servant, tasked with the single-minded goal of making her life reflect the fantasy she feels she is owed. But even the Princess Program isn't the final illusion. This collides with the final cultural accelerator, the 14th layer, the having it all myth. This is the impossible economic and personal equation. The modern script told her she could have a high-powered, demanding career, be a perfectly present and emotionally attuned mother, maintain a flawless physical appearance, and cultivate a deeply passionate romantic marriage. The reality is that life is built on trade-offs. Every yes to a career is a no to family time. Every hour at the gym is an hour not spent elsewhere. This internal, frantic exhaustion from trying to achieve an impossible standard creates massive stress. That stress is then diagnosed by her internal program as a relationship problem, and you are blamed for her failure to achieve the impossible. Let's be clinical. This is the diagnosis of impossibility. What you are facing is not a simple list of problems to be solved. This is a matrix. It is a complex, self-reinforcing system of interlocking, multi-layered dysfunctions. Each layer reinforces the others. Her genetic pessimism justifies her greener grass syndrome. Her childhood programming drives her self-sabotage. The cultural fantasy fuels her princess entitlement. You cannot fix this. Trying to solve one layer only provides fuel for another. Your effort is the food that keeps the mechanism running. But here is the darkest truth of all. The unhappiness has become her identity. For many, chronic dissatisfaction is not a problem to be solved. It is a way of life. It is a primary mechanism for navigating the world, for garnering attention and, most critically, for bonding. Misery and complaint have become a social currency. In this framework, being content is a betrayal. Being happy is a form of isolation. If she were to wake up tomorrow and be genuinely, quietly happy with her life, she would have nothing to say to her friends, her mother, or her online communities. She would lose the identity of the warrior, the survivor. Her unhappiness is not a burden to her. It is herself, and she will protect that self at all costs. This is why the modern solution, therapy, is often useless. It has been weaponized into therapeutic narcissism, not a tool for self-reflection, but a sophisticated instrument of blame. She does not use therapy to find accountability. She uses it to find new, more elaborate words to describe your failings. You are not just thoughtless, you are gaslighting. You are not just tired, you are emotionally withholding. She learns a language of sophisticated guilt, reframing her dissatisfaction as a righteous response to your pathology. This framework makes you the permanent patient and her the enlightened victim. It's an unwinnable intellectual trap designed to make her unhappiness your clinical responsibility. The impact on the man is devastating. This is the slow erosion of the self. You live in a state of chronic low-grade anxiety, walking on eggshells, anticipating the next invisible tripwire. You sacrifice your hobbies, your ambitions, and your identity, pouring all of your energy into that bottomless bucket. You become reactive, defensive, hollow, and you are told this sacrifice is the definition of a good man. That is the ultimate lie. Here is the hard truth, the one you must accept as a physical law. You cannot make her happy. You cannot fix her programming. You cannot love her out of a neurological state or a childhood wound. You cannot be a better man than her own internal mechanism will allow. And that's where your liberation begins. It is not in fixing her. It is in stopping. The complete withdrawal of your responsibility for her emotional state. The solution is not more effort. It is detachment, not cynicism, clarity. You must draw a line. You are responsible for your own actions, your own integrity, your own life. You are not responsible for managing the multi-layered psychological programming of another adult. Her happiness, her peace, her contentment, those belong to her. And only when you release that burden, fully, finally, can you reclaim your own life.